We're all in uncharted territory looking for ways to support our communities. At Dell Technologies, we're making sure small businesses have the right tech solutions. Dell Technologies advisors are here for you, from helping small businesses stay connected and productive while working remotely with Windows 10 and Microsoft Teams, to rapidly deploying remote work solutions that limit upfront costs with Dell Financial Services. We're standing by you every step of the way. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
This is the Best of Golic and Wingo podcast.
Good Monday morning, everybody. Glad you're with us. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN2. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All phone guests join us on the Shell Pencil Performance Line. Mike Golic Jr. Still away. He'll be back on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Trey Wingo here with you. We're also on Sirius XM Channel 80 in your smart speakers.
Thank you, New England
you're right.
Patriots.
You're right. There was a lot of, you know, ancillary type sports things going on with the teams getting ready to report, getting closer to July with a lot of sports starting up, a lot of positive COVID tests going on in the different sports. And then the lovely tweet from Adam Schefter, and it all just started falling down.
It sure did. Cam Newton signs a 1-year incentive-laden contract to be the, we believe, the starting quarterback of the New England Patriots.
Think?
Look, they won't say it until probably week one of the regular season.
And there was just one really loud negative scream coming out of New England, or I guess wherever he is right now, and that's Jared Stidham.
Yeah.
Going, no.
That's like Twitter is so great. Someone said, boy, Jared said it must have been terrible on those Zoom calls.
Yes.
No workouts. It's not even
at all.
But I mean, let's just, if you can get Cam Newton for a 1-year contract, basically incentive laden, it's the most New England thing ever. It is the most Bill Belichick thing ever, because what this is a potential very high reward, very low risk move.
I was surprised for a bit that Cam didn't have a team, but then you saw, well, no team could really work him out.
Yeah.
Not only did you want to give him a physical, which we've seen players do. There have been players that have signed contracts and have gotten their physicals done, so the contract was done.
Right.
So we knew that that could happen, but I thought, okay, he's not signing because nobody can really work him out.
Right.
He put out a couple of videos, but you're not really telling a whole lot of him, you know, dropping back in the pocket and throwing a ball.
Correct.
You know, because you want to see, you know, the foot, the moving around. And even if you worked him out, it's not under the game condition. So it's just kind of getting a look at him, see if there's any kind of giddy up, you know, any hitch in his giddy up at all, or anything with the shoulder throwing the ball. So you couldn't really tell that from the videos, but I always thought there was a number of teams out there where he could go and he could start and he could help a team. And, you know, there was always that thought of, the New England in the background of you know, especially after the Brady thing went down, obviously. But then more and more when nobody wanted, because I always thought it would be a Charger thing.
I thought
that would be a spot for him. But obviously with Herbert being signed there and that wasn't going to happen. Jacksonville doesn't really want to make any moves because they're thinking of next year. So you started to wonder, okay, is he going to go in that backup role, kind of like a Jameis Winston did, sign that 1-year deal? But then there it is. You know, there it is when just when you think there's not that market for him, and there wasn't. There wasn't a market for him. There's Bill Belichick saying, okay, 1-year deal, it can go as high as, I believe, $7.5 million. Very incentive-laden. Which is, this is a great move for Cam Newton as well. I mean, obviously he'd love to have a long-term deal and still maybe be playing in Carolina. I don't know. But a 1-year deal, go out there, prove yourself, and then you go ahead and, you know, you'd be 32 years old.
He's 31.
And we're seeing quarterback after quarterback play late in their career. Now, he's a little different. He runs a little more and he's taking a little more beating than some of these other guys. But still, you know, he is now here betting on himself to have that 1-year deal to play well and then sign wherever, whether it's to sign and stay in New England or sign somewhere else. But a great signing by Bill Belichick. And of course, it will always make every other team go, huh.
Yeah. What did we miss out on?
What did, what, yeah.
By the way, you know, it is the most, I mean, one of the most interesting things about what happened last night was it happened on the same day that the Patriots were fined $1.1 million dollars.
We'd all forgotten about it for the third round.
They got lost $1.1 million in the third round pick in the 2021 draft for the television crew filming that game, between the Bengals and the Browns.
Yeah, in Cincinnati. In December, remember they were filming the, you know, what's your job or whatever.
Do your job.
Whatever it is. And they were filming, you know, an actual sideline to the Bengals, which was illegal. And they played the whole, you know, we had no idea what they were doing that. The football operations side said we had nothing to do with that. I'd forgotten about that. Just like we had kind of forgotten about the whole sign stealing thing and where it was all going in baseball. I had forgotten about this until I saw it basically right around the Cam Newton sign and going, oh, okay, that's right. They did that. So
what a coincidence.
1.1 million. Nobody ever likes to lose 1.1 million. And then they lose the third round draft pick, right?
Yep.
But get this. If Cam Newton plays this year and then signs somewhere else as a free agent, the Patriots will get back a third round draft pick. Amazing how they do that.
Bill Belichick is playing Wizards chess and everyone else is playing Connect Four.
It's amazing. It's just
the way it goes. So Cam Newton obviously has been hurt the last couple of years and hasn't been the same since the middle of the 2018 season. So the question then becomes, what exactly are they getting? Well, here's Dan Orlovsky basically saying, if he's healthy, what Cam Newton does to the New England Patriots.
If Cam Newton's healthy, this offense is going to be built upon a dominant run game, two really good running backs, young tight ends, and so you've got a top two or three defense in the NFL. We all know that Bill Belichick's an incredible play caller, and if Cam Newton's healthy, and he looks like the 2018 version of Cam Newton before he had his shoulder injury, this totally rewrites and changes the storyline for the AFC and the playoffs this season, because this now puts New England right back in the mix to be the AFC East winner division-wise, and certainly one of the two, three, four best teams in the AFC in totality.
Now, listen, I think what Dan is saying there is correct, but it's still in the AFC, in my opinion. It's the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes and then everybody else behind them.
Oh, yeah, and I'd probably put even Baltimore next. And, this helps New England.
No question.
We were basically saying Buffalo had their chance to grab this division. I think New England's a favorite.
Absolutely.
You know, in that division now with Cam Newton starting. And he talked about when he was playing well in 2018. You look at Cam, and he came in with the completion percentage wasn't great.
Yeah, his career completion percentage is still under 60%.
He was only 60 or more twice. His rookie year, his first year, he was right at 60%, and then the third year is at 61. All the other years, 57, 58, 59, 52, 59. And then 2018, Norv Turner.
Correct.
Got a hold of him, and then he was hurt toward the end of the year as well, though, but he played 14 games that year, and he completed almost 68% of his passes. So, and then the next year when he had just the two starts and got hurt, he was back to 56%. So in all honesty, the 68% is the one that stands out in the way of, okay, this is not the norm. That's the exception. The rule had been high 50%. So that with Josh McDaniel, I'm really looking to see what he's going to do. He certainly will bring back the movement game for the quarterback, for the Patriots, because it hasn't been good. Get this. Since 2001, Patriot quarterbacks has rushed for 1,408 yards total since 2001. Cam Newton has rushed for just under 5,000 yards in his career, almost 1,600 yards in the last four seasons alone. Now, will it be as much as it was his first few years in the league? Probably not. You don't want to do that to him because he also takes a lot of hits that don't get called, and people get away with just hitting the guy a lot because he's so big. So you want to be
maybe
careful.
Maybe that's why he went to New England, because he's going to get calls now.
Maybe. Maybe. So, you know, he's certainly still running. That is a big threat that he has, but how will the completion percentage be in that offense? That is one of the key things I'm going to be looking at.
Mike, one of the first things I went and looked back at when they signed Cam Newton was I went back to that Thursday night game in 2016 when Tom Brady was suspended for the first four games for the deflation sensation. Jimmy Garoppolo started the first two, got hurt in the win at home over Miami, and then they had a short week, a Thursday night game, and Jacoby Brissett had to come in and start. He's now backing up Phillip Rivers in Indianapolis. Went back and looked at that box score. In that game, Jacoby Brissett threw it 19 times, had 11 completions for 108 yards. but he ran it 8 times for 48 yards and a touchdown. And I'm telling you, that's going to be the template for how this New England Patriots offense is going to run. Because what Bill Belichick does better than almost any coach in the NFL, he doesn't have a system. His system is, what do my players do best, and how can I morph that into this week's game plan? And no one is better at changing that game plan week to week based on what players you have and who you're playing than Bill Belichick. 8 quarterback design runs, that sounds about right for the entire upcoming 2020 season, should we have a 2020 season with Jacoby Brissett now up. I mean, excuse me, with Cam Newton expected to be the presumptive starting quarterback for the New England Patriots. By the way, one other little nugget about this. The Patriots now, our great researcher Duraeus brought this to my attention, per the Elias Sports Bureau. The Patriots now the first team ever to lose an MVP and gain a league MVP in the same offseason.
Wow.
Golic and Wingo.
And Wingo.
Mm-hmm. Trey Wingo and Mike Golic Sr. Delighted to be joined now by our Patriots ESPN NFL Nation reporter, Mike Reese. Mike, how quickly did your day change on Sunday?
Trey, Mike, great to talk with you. It is uncanny. As a Patriots reporter, I would say whenever you're ready to go on vacation, prepare for the biggest news to drop. And this goes way back. I mean, to times with Aaron Hernandez and other things. This was supposed to be day 2 of vacation, but we're going to call the audible and reroute some plans.
So, you know, Cam Newton's name had come up with a number of teams when free agency was going on, and New England was one of them once Tom Brady was going to be gone. But nothing obviously ever happened with anybody until yesterday. Why so long before New England pulled the move here?
Well, Mike, I think there's 2 parts to it. You know, I don't believe the Patriots' position ever changed. You go back to May, and Bill Belichick is on record as saying, you never know what might happen down the road, but we feel like we have good players to work with at quarterback. They also had a very tight economic picture. They're the tightest team to the salary cap. They couldn't offer much, you know, in that situation. So then you go to the other side of it and say, well, maybe something changed with Cam Newton, and his asking price, perhaps, is different now than it was a few months ago, and he's more willing to accept this type of opportunity, this type of contract.
Mike Reese with us, our Patriots reporter. And, Mike, this is the ultimate Patriot Bill Belichick move, right? There is very little risk and potentially very high reward in offering a former NFL MVP a 1-year incentive-laden contract. Clearly, we all believe that he is going to be the presumptive starter week 1 should the regular season begin on time for the Patriots. But it doesn't mean that they're giving up on Jared Stidham, right?
Well, I think that's well said, Trey, because, you know, this is his second year, and we've talked about this for the last couple months. They like him a lot. I mean, he was leading these player workouts along with Brian Hoyer over the last couple months, and they think he has a bright future, but they also acknowledge, like, until he goes out and does it, there's a blind spot there. So this buys them a little more time to assess exactly what they have. And, heck, they haven't ruled out the idea that he rises up in this competition and is still their guy.
No matter who starts this year, it will be the 4th starting week 1 quarterback under Bill Belichick. He's had Bledsoe, Brady, and Garoppolo, and now it's going to be Cam Newton. I mean, this is something we haven't had to deal with, was any kind of a quarterback issue at New England for so long. Do you envision, and we know what we'll hear from Bill, best player plays, do you envision an open competition, or do you envision number 1 just getting handed the job?
Open competition, Mike, and I think I truly believe that. And well, I would say, if you were, say, give me some odds, I think it's fair to say I'd probably put Cam now at the top of the list, just based on what he's already proven to be in the league. But here is the blind spot with him, in my view. He has no background in this offensive system with Josh McDaniels, the coordinator, or this culture, you know, in New England. And I've seen situations where players have come in over the last 2 decades, and it's worked out great. Randy Moss, Darrell Revis come to mind as players you might look at and say, how's it going to fit, you know, up here in New England the way they do things? Because it seems a lot different from the places they've been. But there have been other situations where those have not worked out. And in this case, there's very, as Trey mentioned, limited risk and downside for the Patriots to at least see what that looks like.
As Mike Reese is with us talking about the big news in the Patriots, and I just have to ask, It is, I mean, maybe it's coincidence, but it is somewhat interesting that the Patriots have this story come out that they're signing Cam Newton on the same day that the NFL drops the fines on them of $1.1 million and the loss of a third-round draft pick for the filming incident last December involving the game with the people from the TV production side of the Patriots filming that situation on the sidelines in that game between the Browns and the Bengals, right? It seems a little – the timing seems curious, if nothing else.
Well, I can understand the skepticism there. My thought on that, Trey, is I think that's as much dictated by a couple things falling into place. I mean, the NFL had to make a ruling. I mean, here we are. The calendar's almost going to flip to July. This happened back in December. I know there have been a lot of things going on, but this was a long time coming. I mean, I think many people thought the news on the videotaping would come even before the draft. You know, I don't think anyone thought we'd be sitting here talking about it, you know, in late June. So to me, part of that is how long it took for the league to come to that decision.
So the headline of that punishment is the $1.1 million fine and the loss of the third-round draft pick next year. Around the NFL, will this be considered a harsh penalty for what they did?
I think it'll depend who you talk to, Mike. I actually view it as incredibly harsh and actually precedent-setting, because what stood out to me is, like, Bill Belichick isn't really part of this punishment. This was the Patriots television production crew, which is not part of football operations. And so now you have a situation where the league is actually taking away a third-round pick, pretty significant football asset, for the actions of someone outside the football operation, which to me, I'm not sure that's ever happened before. I'd have to look deeper into that. But I think in that sense, it's an extremely harsh penalty.
Of course, in classic Patriot chess, though, should Cam Newton leave in the offseason
as a free agent,
they'll get that third-round pick back.
Compensatory pick,
I mean, it's just it's an amazing thing, Mike. As I said, Bill's always playing Wizards chess, and everyone else is trying to, you know, play chutes and ladders going forward. As Golic and Wingo is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. So, Mike, the first thing I thought of as I began to process the idea of Cam Newton with the Patriots, the first game I went back and looked at was immediately that Thursday night game, week three of the regular season 2016, when Tom Brady was suspended. Jimmy Garoppolo started the first 2 weeks, and in that second week, a home game against Miami, got injured. Short week, Jacoby Brissett had to start, and you watch that game against the Texans, which the Patriots won 27-0. It was a completely different offense. Bill Belichick is better than anybody, and his coaching staff is better than anybody, about morphing that game plan week to week based on the players they have available and the team they're playing. And in looking at that box score, you had 19 pass attempts for Jacoby Brissett, but more importantly, 8 designed runs for 48 yards, including a touchdown. Is that a primer, for lack of a better term, on how the Patriots might try and use Cam Newton going forward?
It is a great example to bring up, in my opinion, Trey, because they were really proud as a staff of that game. I think he had a 27-yard touchdown run, you know, of those rushing yards you mentioned. And the thought was, hey, look, we're not going to call that play if Tom Brady is under center. So what that game showed you is how flexible the Patriots are with their offense and really how much sort of breadth they have in their system to evolve based on the strengths and talents of their player, of their players, and you're going to have different strengths with quarterbacks. And so now what I envision they'll do is bring Cam in and say, okay, we never really work with him on a day-to-day basis. Let's see what he does well, what maybe, you know, we need to protect him for, and we have the ability to adjust and accentuate his strengths.
Yeah, listen, you're going to see an offense that's going to be run-based, which is something they've sort of transitioned to the last couple of years anyway, with the way things have gone, especially having lost the receivers last year that they had in Josh Gordon and Antonio Brown. But I'm just curious about this part of it, Mike, as we're talking to Patriots reporter Mike Reese with us this morning, because people are – I've heard some people say, okay, you know, you're going to have a good offense with Cam now going forward, and that defense is going to be good. I'm like, well, hold on a minute now. That defense was great up until they played the Ravens. I think it was week 8 or week 9 of the regular season. And then they played a really good offense, and they got torched a little bit there. And they had more defensive struggles down the stretch of the season. And, Mike, they lost a ton of players on that defensive side in the offseason. So while I understand people saying the offense is going to be good with Cam, I don't think we can just assume that the defense, which was such a big part of their success in the regular season, especially early, is going to be as dominant as it was a year ago because they lost a lot of parts there.
They sure did. Kyle Van Noy, Jamie Collins, among them at the linebacker spot. And they always say it, and it's really the truth. We see it on a year-to-year basis. You start from ground, the starting point, zero, every year, and they'll have to prove it again. I think one thing they feel good about, though, Trey, is their secondary is back with Stephon Gilmore, reigning NFL Defensive Player of the Year, and that just gives them a little bit of a head start with the communication that you need on the back end of the defense to build from a higher point than you would be otherwise. In a passing league, they feel like they have a lot of guys that can cover.
Yeah, they will. Listen, I'm sorry your off-season vacation got delayed a little bit, but I'm sure they'll find a way to make it. No, they won't. But we appreciate your dedication to the job, Mike. As always, it's going to make it a very interesting season. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Thanks, Trey. Thanks, Mike. Have a great day.
Golic.
I tell you what, a great sports night last night. Yeah. No doubt about it.
And Wingo.
What a day. What a show. What a time.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
We're delighted to talk to Jay Williams, our fine NBA and college basketball analyst. Jay, good morning. As always, good to talk to you. Thanks for being with us. We have a lot to get into with you on a variety of topics, but let's start with the idea that the NBA is going to where is now a coronavirus hotbed. I mean, the whole point of the NBA going down to the Orlando bubble was just a month ago on May 25th, the cases were very, very low. Now, because of some parameters that were put in place or not put in place, for lack of a better term, and not being adhered to, we're seeing a spike. How concerned are you that this spike in cases might throw a wrench in the plans of what the NBA has in store for the resumption of the season?
Well, you know, look, guys, first off, good morning to you both. And I would say this, that it's obvious what the NBA is trying to do here. They are assembling a plane after they've already jumped off the cliff. So you recognize that they're doing this in real time. It's going to be a series of ebb and flows. I think it's a great sign that they had less than 5% rate of COVID victims, players. So is it going to be challenging going down to a bubble? Yes, but at the same time, guys, one can argue is that this is probably one of the safest places there is for NBA players because of all the processes and of all the restrictions that are going to be on them and some of the employees. And look, a lot of people were saying, this is about the money. They're absolutely right. This is about the money. This is about the economic welfare of a lot of athletes, a lot of future athletes. And a league that has been, extremely imperative in, really creating a lot of wealth among African Americans. And they'll also have a pretty big platform in Orlando, the biggest platform in the world, actually, to showcase and to talk about, systemic racism and social injustice. Is it a foolproof plan? No way. But of all the commissioners that we've seen in sports, Adam Silver always strikes me as extremely judicious and pragmatic, and as the commissioner, I'm rolling with Adam on this one. You have to put your trust and faith in who he is as a person. I think his character is shown over the amount of time he's ran the league.
Staying with the health side of this, the latest player, Wes Chandler from the Nets, has opted not to go play in the bubble. He cited spending time with his grandmother and his three kids. And the health concerns there. So along those lines, you just mentioned Adam Silver. When you hear this quote, this is from Adam Silver. Give me your thoughts. Adam Silver said, "We are left with no choice but to live with the virus."
Golic, I'm not going to sit up here and tell you that Adam Silver is absolutely right. I think this is extremely subjective. Obviously, it's taken over our whole country. It's taken over the world. And it's really dependent upon your circumstance, brother. You know, for me personally, my daughter is immune suppressed. My mother just had diverticulitis this year. She had her second kidney transplant. As a player, I would probably not go. And I can respect the fact that Wilson Chandler or other guys would choose not to do so. Avery Bradley as well with the Lakers. But then in the same breath, I can't knock my brother who may choose to go and to play to win a championship. So, you know, I get to a degree what Adam's saying about the league, because the league employs so many people, and you could see the league really, really suffer. You talk about what the league has been able to do for a lot of cities, you know, a lot of owners and the way they've been able to deploy a lot of their wealth into certain communities and players asking for that. You can't do those types of things or make a difference in your community if you don't have a league. And I'm not saying 1 year of missing a season would make it a league, but it would set the league back monumentally. And even the players would lose over $1 billion worth of salary. So for people who would say that it's not about the money, that's fine when you can say that from the outside looking in. But if you're that individual player who's on a league minimum contract or you're barely making $1 million a year after taxes and other things, this is a chance for you to accumulate wealth for your family's legacy. So it's subjective, man. It's a really tough question.
1,000% correct. I completely agree. Every player is a different position. Thank you for correcting me again. Wilson Chandler from the Nets has informed the team he's opting out again to spend more time with his family, particularly his grandmother who raised him and his three children. The Nets plan to sign forward Justin Anderson.
Golic and Wingo here with you. We're talking to Jay Williams, and there's a lot to get to with the NBA, including the idea that, you know, so many players, including Avery Bradley, who is sitting out because of his son,
right,
has had a hard time recovering from respiratory issues. But he was one of the vocal players out there, Jay, that's like, look, I'm concerned if we go to start playing basketball again, the focus will be just on us playing basketball and not on the things that have proven to be very difficult for so many people of color in this country, basically being treated as equals. What do you make with the idea that the NBA is going to allow players to have certain things on their jerseys that will represent the things they want to stand up for and people to recognize in terms of social injustice?
Trey, I wish I was in a studio. I wish I was with you guys. It's kind of kicking it the whole show, you know. As it relates to the distraction aspect, I hear that to a degree. Maybe if basketball were the only sport, if other sports didn't come back. But, okay, you're still going to have distractions, right? MLB is starting their season. You have the WNBA, NHL. Other leagues are moving forward, so they would still be a distraction. So now that you actually have the platform, The name on the back of the jersey concept is one that it sounds good on paper. I don't know if it really resonates with me personally because, NBA faces are some of the most well-recognized faces we have in the world. People don't necessarily look at the back of their jerseys for names. So even if you were to have, you know, Rayshon Brooks on the back of your jersey, if you're James Harden or if you're LeBron James, people still know you're LeBron James. So, you know, I think there are little slight adjustments that I think players should ask for. And I know this may sound crazy, but if you see LeBron James running down the court, you're not going to look at the back of his jersey to know that's LeBron James. You know that's LeBron James. So maybe it's something where players have individual, you know, hosts or, you know, people that have to refer to them over the PA by saying, no, I want to be called Rayshon Brooks. I want to be called Ahmaud Arbery. I want to be called these names, and maybe that's the way you bring more attention. There's a lot of ways you can do this. I just don't think slapping somebody's name on the back of a jersey or, you know, whatever the word is actually brings the right kind of attention to the cause that people want to resonate within the sphere of Orlando and the NBA.
That's interesting, Jay. I wonder what else, if the NBA came to you and said, hey, Jay, what do you think we could do in this bubble? You just gave one example there. Are there other things you thought of that would help other than what you've seen them trying to do?
You know, I've been trying to talk to a lot of guys, you know, if it's, you know, answering different questions with names of people that have passed away, if it's, you know, obviously making announcements to work on, you know, putting together groups of money if you're able to raise money. And I don't have all the answers. You know, Chris Paul and the NBAPA have been trying to put together these kind of ideas for a while now. And it's one, honestly, Golic, I want to throw out a couple ideas, but I also don't know how it's going to be down there. It's, you know, I think one of the things that people gloss over, and granted, you know, we just made the comment, it's about the money, but, you know, you're asking, you guys both have families. I have a family. I have a daughter who is 20 months, and the money's great, but you have to leave my family for 2.5, 3 months, and I'm going to be in a bubble, and we can sit here and say, oh, it's like AAU basketball, but, you know, guys are going to be around each other a lot of times. There's going to be heightened anxiety. The mental health aspect of this is something I know people just gloss over. But this is uncharted territory for a lot of guys. So I can say all these different ideas, but once you're there, I don't know what that feeling is going to be like. I don't know how people are going to react in different ways. And this is going to be, for any athlete, I mean, you know, I saw Adam Silver's last quote, you know, athletics bring sports, bring people together in our country. And that comment is correct, but it also comes with a lot. It comes with a lot. Now, you can sit there and say, well, the money's worth it. Okay, fine. But you're also subjecting yourself to a lot of mental agony and a lot of questions as we still gather data on all this stuff. It's going to be a really intriguing thing to watch how guys react to this, let alone, you know, stances that they take socially as well.
Yeah, listen, there's a lot to get into, and Jay, I know you got to run, so we appreciate your time this morning. But again, I wish you were here with us, so we could chop it up on a variety of issues.
And listen, next time we talk, Jay, we're going to talk basketball on the court because we're going to be a lot closer to it then, and we look forward to some breakdowns there. We appreciate your time this morning, Jay.
Thanks, brother.
I'm with you, Golic. All right, Trey, thanks, bud.
Golic and Wingo.
It was all sort of one big giant Jell-O mold. Very interesting where that went.
We're delighted to be joined by Kermit Davis, the Ole Miss men's basketball coach. Kermit, thanks for being with us this morning. First of all, were you surprised at how quickly this thing, which has been a part of the state flag for a long time, there's been a discussion about it, how quickly this moved to resolution?
Yeah, Trey, it was a welcoming sight. You know, as a native Mississippian, born and raised in the state, and to see, you know, young people, athletic administrations, our legislation, the House and Senate acted real quickly. So it was a great day for our state, that because everyone knew, we knew that we needed a flag to represent all of our citizens, need a flag to represent our students in state, out of state, a flag to represent our student athletes. And so it was, you know, we've all done some different things in college coaching that we've enjoyed, but I don't know if I've ever had a more gratifying day to be a small part of change in our state.
And along those lines, as you said, you were born and raised there, and neither at Mississippi State or Ole Miss, that flag hasn't flown there since, I think, 2015 or 2016. Why did this happen now, and why didn't this happen sooner?
Yeah, it's a great question, Mike. I think you just saw that, you know, our legislation was a big part, but it's the power of athletics. And our commissioner, Greg Sankey, came out and took a position, you know, there was going to be no SEC regionals, no SEC championships in our state if the flag was flying. And then Mark Emmert with NCAA came out and said the same thing of NCAA regionals. And then Colin Hill came out, and then I think it was 46, you know, coaches and administrators. It was all the schools. It was Ole Miss State, Southern Miss, Jackson State, Mississippi Valley, Alcorn State, and others. So I do. I just think it's the power of our voice and what's going on in our country right now. But it was sure a welcoming change for all of us.
Kermit Davis was the Ole Miss basketball coach and the 2019 SEC Coach of the Year, we should point out. Part of the many people that lobbied and lobbied successfully for the state of Mississippi to change that flag. I'm just curious, Coach, what did it mean when you found out it was a former Ole Miss guard, Blake Hinson, who said the Confederate symbol on the state flag was one of the reasons he decided to transfer away from Ole Miss and go to Iowa State?
Yeah, you know, and I think, Trey, it's just great for us that now we can just move forward, you know, and that the flag issue is behind us. You know, Blake was with us for 2 years, and, you know, we want every basketball player that comes to Ole Miss and Oxford to have a great experience. I mean, basketball-wise, academically, socially, that's our main concern. And, you know, Blake and I never had a discussion in probably a month that we were talking about the possibility of him transferring. We never had a discussion about the flag. I would have welcomed that. It was just strictly basketball. But we wish Blake the best, and And like I said, we're just glad it's changed and we're moving forward.
Coach, we know nothing is 100% on one side all the time, and right. There are going to be people that are angry that this has happened as well. Have you heard from any of those, and what are people saying?
I'm sure there are, Mike. You know, I've had nothing but positive response and from our Ole Miss community. I mean, it's been great. And throughout the state, of just pals that, whether Southern Miss grads, Mississippi State grads, just proud Mississippians that we're moving forward with the change. But it's like any decision like that. I'm sure there's different sides to it. But as far as me personally, we need a change, and that was the main thing. And so we're moving forward. But I think what you saw, I mean, whether the Senate yesterday, almost in a standing ovation, how excited that they were. Everybody know if we're trying to grow, and let's just forget about athletics. If we're just trying to grow from a business standpoint, an educational standpoint of growth, we had to have a flag that unites people and not a flag. I mean, you said it. We haven't flown the flag at Ole Miss since 2016. So why have a state flag you're not proud to fly?
That's a great point. And again, the speed with which this happened was really amazing, as Kermit Davis is with us. And Coach, it sort of lends to the next question, which is the changing landscape of college sports, not only because of the pandemic, which we'll get into in a minute, but players are understanding the power they have. You know, we've seen this, whether it was the running back at Oklahoma State with Chuba Hubbard when he was upset with something that Mike Gundy, his football coach, wore as a shirt, and the things that network represented to him, it sparked real conversations. We saw a linebacker at Florida State have to have a sit down or form a sit down with his new head football coach at Florida State because there was a misconception about how a message that was put out there that he had spoken to all the players. As a coach in a Power 5 conference, how important is it now for you to recognize that these college players are understanding that their platform is powerful and can lead to positive change?
Yeah, I think it's one of the greatest things that I've seen. I think this will be my 38th year in college basketball, is just the voice of young people and how I've been so proud of our student athletes at Ole Miss in all sports. We had a unity march, how they've spoken up. They've led rallies. They've led very peaceful protests, but strong, powerful rallies. I think it's such a welcoming thing to see the young people around our country, both black and white, unite together and march and use their voice and their platform. And I think as we all get older, guys, I mean, we hear all the time, you've heard coaches say it over and over, and I'm one of them. We become such better listeners to our players, more knowledgeable about the process. And but I am. I'm proud of all the young student athletes that use it because we welcome that.
Kermit Davis joining us, Ole Miss head basketball coach. You mentioned 38 years, his first coaching gig, 1983, an assistant at Mississippi State, born and raised in Leakesville, Mississippi, joining us here on Golic and Wingo. And there's that side of it. And then, oh, by the way, there's a pandemic going on that the colleges, everybody, and then we, in our world of sports, has to deal with. So talk to us about we know football players have started to come back in a lot of places this June. We know basketball comes back in the summer, men's and women's. Where are you with that? Have your players started to come back? If so, how is that going? If not, when? And what are the testing procedures?
Yeah, Mike, I think we have 11 players back today. We have two more to get in. All of them have tested. You know, we at Ole Miss, every student athlete administrator that comes on is tested for the COVID and the antibodies. Knock on wood, we've had all 11 people test negative. All of our staff members in the building have been negative, and so that's good. And it's all in an involuntary stage. Voluntary stage right now. Strength and conditioning coach. What we were able to get into our practice facility in small numbers. We do have managers, you know, with masks and gloves that can rebound balls. So it's all individual specific. The one thing. We have such great leadership with our chancellor, Dr. Boyce, and our athletic director, Keith Carter. And I think you can see it. Our SEC leadership is phenomenal with Greg and his staff. And so they're kind of leading. I mean, right now our position is that we are doing everything we can to try to play football with 50% occupancy. That's our goal. For straight now, you know, from our chancellor and Keith. And we know the numbers are on the rise. I think the best thing, guys, that we can do, and we're going to have a meeting with our team again this morning at 9, just to go back over the protocol of our building, is go slow early. Well, hopefully we can play fast late. We all got to slow down and be very cautious of protocol. Because the biggest thing is we've got to do a great job to get all of our students back on our campuses, you know, to get it back going again, hopefully in a safe way.
What are your concerns? Because, again, there are decision makers above you that would decide how this all goes. Your concern of the want so badly to have sports, because we know what they bring, especially in college sports, the want to have them happen and the need to really be careful and have that line of, okay, we've gone too far and this needs to stop.
Yeah, you know, I just think people, like, I wish I had the answers, you know, that obviously a lot smarter than me in that area. I'll have to make those decisions. All I know is that we just got to do a good job. Myself, just in my little world of running the building that I'm responsible for with our student athletes and making sure we do go slow. And I think we all, gosh, we miss sports and we watch your shows and you guys have done such a great job of just, you know, almost creating things to talk about because we'd be right in the middle of baseball, a lot of different things, right now. So we do. It's a country that loves the entertainment, it's part of sports, obviously in the southeastern region. How big college football and the start of basketball can be for all of our campuses. And I guess we just have to wait and see. And I know one thing, the SEC is at the forefront of trying to do it safely, but trying to be aggressive to put people, hopefully, some people in the stands to watch college football in September.
Well, listen, Coach, if you've already had all those people come back and not test positive, you're ahead of the game.
Yeah, you
man.
Are.
So, celebrate
that. We're lucky,
that.
Man. We're lucky. Yeah. I promise you, I knock on wood every time I say it because it is. It's just going to happen. And I think the biggest question I've heard you guys discuss in a bunch on your show is, you know, just how do we can we continue to go on when you have people test positive and how does a sport continue? And I think that's our biggest question we all have in all of our sports.
Yep, and again, that is the great unknown. We go into this eyes wide open and fingers crossed
yep.
more than anything
exactly
else.
Right.
But impressive display of change in a yep. rapid fashion in the state of Mississippi. Coach, we appreciate the time this morning. Thank you so much.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Golic and Wingo.
Let's not expect too much. There's only one person out there that's expecting way too much out of this guy too early. We know who that is. It's his father.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your baby to let you sleep in?
What? We could sleep in another half hour? Thanks, sweetheart. And you'll change yourself too?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.
We're delighted to be joined now by Matt Cassel, longtime NFL quarterback, and of course the man who stepped in week one of the regular season in 2008 when Tom Brady went down with a torn ACL against the Chiefs and helped lead the Patriots to an 11-5 season and then himself to a $63 million contract in the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
So Matt Cassel is with us this morning. Matt, thanks. Good morning. We appreciate your time and your perspective. So what were your initial thoughts when you heard Cam Newton signing with Bill Belichick and the Patriots?
You know what? I think it was a great sign, to be honest with you. It brings, obviously, experience to that room. This guy's not very far removed from being an MVP. Obviously, you probably talked about it with his injuries that he's had. But if he comes back healthy, on a mission, motivated, ready to go, this is a great situation for Cam Newton because, you know, Josh McDaniels and what he's able to do with that offensive structure and how he's able to put people in a great position to be successful and utilize their strengths. I think it'll be really, really amazing to watch this tandem work. And he's such a dynamic, amazing athlete that in his capabilities and set of abilities is just unique. And I think that they'll do a great job with him.
Talk about, let's go back to your year as Trey set up, you know, in that first game. And we always know that backup quarterback is one play away from being the starter. And you found that out in 2008. So talk about that year, not only the chance you got, but boy, the door it opened up for you from the financial side of it as well in pro sports.
Oh, there's no doubt. I was on my last year of my rookie contract and I was planning on probably just being a backup and hopefully somebody else was going to give me a shot. But until that moment, I wasn't going to get an opportunity. And then, of course, I was thrust into action. And I think that, like I said before, Belichick and Josh McDaniels do such a good job of managing that quarterback position, especially for a guy like myself, where we went in and we slowly started to every week add more plays and do that. But it was really they kind of dumbed down the game plan early on to let me get comfortable. But they also played to my strengths, like I said before, when they do a good job of always changing formations. Like I was more comfortable in 3-by-1 versus 2-by-2 in 2 minutes. So they'd make that quick adjustment for me. And so we stayed in 3-by-1 formations. And they did it because they thought we'd be more successful. We were. And then as that year went on and we started to have more success, it just, it changed my life, changed my perspective and my entire NFL career.
Yeah, Matt Cassel with us, former Patriots quarterback. Again, before he jumped into the game week two to start, I believe that week two game was against the Jets, was it not, Matt?
It was for first game in the Meadowlands against Brett Favre and the Jets.
Yeah, before that, he had not started a game since high school because he went to USC and did not start a game at USC. And then, of course, his next starting game is NFL with Brett Favre's. I think that was Brett Favre's home debut also against the Jets.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned that about the formations because one of the things that I looked at right away, Matt, when I saw the signing, I went back to that 2016 game week three when Jacoby Brissett was forced on a short week to start against the Houston Texans. And that game, they went, the Texans lost to the Patriots 27-0. And there were 8 designed quarterback runs for Jacoby Brissett. And the Patriots completely changed their game plan from the week before when Jimmy Garoppolo was the starting quarterback in a win against the Dolphins because they knew what Jacoby was and what he wasn't and how they could exploit his talents best. And with that in mind, how much do you think that's going to play a part in what changes with this offense? And quite frankly, the way the Patriots offense has really been changing the last couple of years, very run specific.
Right. And you hit the nail on the head with that one. With just they're a game plan offensive structure. Every single week, what they're going to do is they're going to look at a defense. They're going to try to basically manipulate them in some manner, or they're going to find a weak spot and you're going to attack that weak spot. And so for a guy like Cam Newton, whether or not he wins the job and beats out Jared Stidham, I don't know. That's still an untold story. At the same time, I know that even if he doesn't, they're going to create packages for Cam Newton that teams are going to have to go in and they're going to have to work on it throughout the course of the week, whether it's RPOs or it's a run-specific type offensive structure that they do with Cam. And so it just adds a whole other dynamic to that offensive structure when you're going up them, and it's going to give defensive fits because you can't just prepare for one type of offensive structure. I guarantee they're going to have different packages that work Cam Newton in there and just put the emphasis on him and make sure that the defenses across the league have to prepare for that as well, which is really tough.
Matt Cassel joining us, 7th round pick by the Patriots in 05, 2008, helped lead the Patriots that 11-5 season and didn't make the playoffs. And later that offseason, he and Mike Vrabel were traded to Kansas City, where Cassel signed the 6-year $62 million deal. So in a normal situation, how much behind the curve is Cam going into a team a few weeks before training camp? And then I know while it'd be tough to answer, now throw in the fact that he can't even meet with anybody physically until camp starts.
Right. It's been a weird offseason, I'm sure, for everybody. And especially for Cam Newton, who obviously just signed with the team. And anytime you have such a short notice and short time period before you start, it's going to be a cram session, and it's going to be difficult because, you know what, the offensive structure itself and the terminology and all those things and the onus that they put on the quarterback to point out the mic. When I say that, I mean point out the middle linebacker and make calls at the line of scrimmage and set up your protection. There's a lot of emphasis on the quarterback to get that correct. So he's definitely going to be starting from behind, and he needs to get caught up as soon as possible. But like you said, it's going to be difficult. This season will be very difficult because even with Jared Stidham, he's been able to do meetings and stuff, but he hasn't been able to practice and go through OTAs and develop like you normally would going into your second season.
Just so people can kind of understand, when you went from New England to Kansas City, and you guys won the division that year, but just the switch from New England to Kansas City, just kind of let everybody know how difficult it is of learning a brand new offense.
It's really difficult. It always is. It's because there's a lot of crossover terminology, whether it's a route pattern or whether it's a protection scheme and how they want to slide to this guy or they want to go to, you know, they want you to redirect the protection this way. There's a lot that goes into it. But more impressively is just making it become second nature to you when you get up to the line of scrimmage and you're able to digest what you just said. Because so many times, like I said, when you're first learning a playbook, you're going, wait, does that mean this? Or you're second guessing yourself and the structure of it and all that. And then it just takes time and repetition and time on task. But it's always challenging to go into a new offensive scheme.
Matt Cassel with us, former Patriots quarterback, sort of giving us some perspective on what Cam Newton is going to be ready to roll and do if he's the starting quarterback, and we all believe he will be, for the 2020 season. But let me ask you this, Matt, because we're all saying, well, this is a one-and-done contract, and then Cam can sign as a free agent, blah, 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 blah. He's 31. He's in the prime of his career. What about the possibility that Cam Newton and Josh McDaniels click and things work? What are the odds, in your opinion, that if he has a very successful season, that Cam Newton may say, huh, maybe this is a really good place for me to stay, and he signs as and becomes a long-term solution at quarterback for the Patriots as opposed to a one-year rental?
Well, there's no doubt about it. If he goes out there and performs and has a great relationship and rapport with Josh McDaniels and does all the things that he needs to do, I can't imagine that a team like New England – who is looking for the next Tom Brady. And I'm not saying that Cam Newton's trying to go in there and be the next Tom Brady, but what I'm saying is a next franchise guy that's going to continue to lead this organization down the right path. Cam Newton's shown that he's capable of doing that. He's obviously done it in the past with Carolina. And so if he goes out and performs, there's no doubt in my mind that that could be a long-term landing spot for Cam Newton.
I mean, you could do a lot worse.
Yeah,
you could do a lot worse.
Right.
Matt, listen, we appreciate your time. We appreciate your perspective on this morning, because this is going to be a signing and a discussion point from now, I think, until the end of the season based on how it all plays out. Thanks for being with us, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate you. Have a good one.
This has been the Best of Golic and Wingo podcast. You can listen or subscribe on the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, or just ask your smart speaker to play Golic and Wingo. Plus, you can check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN News.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your teenager to help around the house?
Okay, Mom, I emptied the dishwasher, vacuumed the basement, and folded the sheets out of the dryer.
Wait, what?
Oh, and next, I'm going to clean Mitten's litter box.
Are we in some kind of prank show or something? That's a camera, isn't it?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.